Good morning. It's good to see everybody. It's good to be seen by everybody. It is Easter. It is a fantastic day that we can celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We have some special things that we're going to be doing this morning. We have a child dedication. Then we have five people being baptized. We are down one. From the list in the bulletin, Mark Zimmerman, who's in the back, is not going to be baptized today. He had a procedure done this past week, and it needs to heal a little bit more before he goes through baptism. So we'll be having another baptism in a few weeks when we can get that pulled together. But the rest of the folks are going to be baptized, and so we're really excited about that. And then we have the dollar offering, and the dollar offering is an offering that the children take up. It'll be after the children's sermon this morning, and it's one of those things, if you've got a dollar, put it in. If you don't, just smile and wave at the kids. They just go nuts all over the congregation. It is total pandemonium, and we love it. And so they'll be taking up that offering, and that offering goes to dig water wells in India and Bangladesh, and so that'll be going on, and then if there's time, they're going to let the pastor speak. And so hopefully we'll be able to get through all of that this morning. We're just really excited to have everyone with us. I do have a couple of announcements. Our new directory is available and out in the back. If you'd like to take one, please feel free to do so. They're free to the congregation, and so feel free to grab one. If we run out, you'll just have to come back next week, and we'll make some more. Also, just a reminder, we're coming up on the deadline for Camp Odioquwa for the early registration, and so if any of the kids are wanting to go to Camp Odioquwa, make sure you get moving on that. We do pay for all the kids to go, and so we'll take care of the cost for that as a church, we'll go from there. Also, I've been asked to remind everyone, we are having a softball team this summer, and asking if you're interested in playing with us to sign up. There's a sign up on the Welcome Center there. Yeah, it is a guy thing, guys only. Yeah, y'all can yell at me later. So that's out there as well. Prayer requests. Oh, and then there's a thing in your bulletin for Easter flowers. And you can look through those in honor and in memory of a number of individuals there as well. Prayer requests. We've been asked to pray for the family of Samir Singha. Samir Singha is one of our nationals in our ministry in Bangladesh and India. He is pretty much the coordinator for all of that. He runs the hospital and a number of other things. His wife lost her battle with cancer yesterday, went on to be with the Lord, and so do keep his family in your prayers. Also, we've been asked to announce that Carol Luke turns 80 on the 25th of this month, and is asking if we would participate in a card shower for her. Her address is in the church directory. She is at a nursing facility, and even if you don't know who she is, she will get a kick out of getting cards. And so would encourage you to put a card in the mail for Carol Luke as well. Anything that I may have missed? Oh, yes, if you purchased an Easter flower, please come and get it after the service and take it home so that you can enjoy that. And, yeah, they're all bulbs. Well, most of them are bulbs. And some of them are on the piano. Oh, they look pretty. And so they were, their name? Is their name on them, John? Is their name on them? You what? Okay, miraculously names will be on them, miracles do happen, but after the service you can pick it up and John can give you a hand with that as well. As we continue in worship this morning, we're going to do a child dedication, and I'm going to ask the Lee family if they would come forward. awesome. Wherever. Yeah, cool. Yeah. You know, it's a wonderful thing as our families expand, as we continue to grow and see new families come in. It's just an exciting, exciting time. And one of the things that we do is we dedicate our children to the Lord and to His service. Part of that is the responsibility of the parents. They stand before the congregation and make promises to the child. And then we ask the congregation to make a promise to the child to assist in the bringing up, the rearing of that child. Because we all know that if mom and dad say it, it might be true. But if somebody else says it, it's probably true. And they need to hear both as they grow up and grow in their walk with Jesus Christ. So this morning, throughout the Old Testament, children were taken to the temple for dedication. Practice continued right through the birth of Jesus Christ. And Luke 2:21-24 records that bringing of Jesus to the temple for dedication. Child dedication is an act by which we pledge the life of a child to the Lord. The parents pledge to bring up the child in the way he is to go, the teaching the child the ways of God, and the congregation pledges to assist in that process. Both are responsible. It's not fully the parents' responsibility, it's not fully the congregation's responsibility, but it's a working together to make that happen. And you're just so excited today, aren't you? Yeah. All right. Chewing a little paper. Got it. But children truly are a gift from God. And Psalms 127:3 proclaims that sons are a heritage from the Lord, children a reward from Him. And as believers, we're called to recognize that children belong first and foremost to God. And then God in His goodness gives children as gifts to parents. They not only assume that responsibility, that awesome responsibility for caring for this gift, but also the privilege of enjoying the gift, because children belong to God and are given grace as gift as parents. It's proper that we would appreciate children and dedicate them back to God. There's other examples. There's the example of Samuel who was raised. There's the example of Mary and Joseph, and they brought the baby Jesus. And today we're here for Henry. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Because we understand the importance of coming together as individual families, but the family of God as well. So, John and Lori, I call your attention to the commands of God recorded in Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 through 7. It tells us, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commands that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up." And Ephesians 6:4 says, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath. Instead, bring them up in the training and the instruction of the Lord." For God's instructions are plain. John and Lori, love God with every ounce and fiber of your energy. And teach little Henry to do the same. Because as you lead by example, our children follow in kind. And they see the difference that God has made in your hearts. And in turn, they're drawn to know the God that loves them. If you dedicate yourselves to that, we would ask that you would respond by saying, "We do." In order, oh, here you go. Yeah. There's a little bit of the bulletin left if you want some more. One of the neat things that we have as a congregation is this ability to come together. And in that coming together, how we lead our lives, the things that we put as priority and say, these things are the best, these are the guiding principles in our hearts and in our lives, those things are transmitted to our children. They see that and they mimic that. So I ask as a congregation, would you be willing to do your part to live a life worthy of the calling that God is calling you to, and to assist in raising little Henry and seeing what God has in store for him? If so, would ask you to stand this morning. Maybe we'll keep the paper. Let's all pray together. Our Father and our God, we thank you for the little ones. We ask, Lord, that your blessing would be upon them, that you would encourage them and strengthen them, that you would woo them unto yourself, that they might see the relationship that you have with their moms, their dads, their grandparents, their aunts and uncles, their family, in the broadest sense. Lord, that you would reveal yourself to him in a special way. Draw him to you, that we might all celebrate for all eternity. Walk with this family, and may your blessing be upon them. In your name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Here, I'll sign that afterwards. All right. You want to head back? Oh, you want that back? I don't have my bulletin. Oh, yes, let's do the hand of fellowship. Everybody would encourage you to stand, shake hands with those around you. If you don't want to shake hands, fist bump or elbow bump or just smile and enjoy one another's company. Seated this morning, we're going to go ahead and start with the baptisms. We're going to have to kind of be a little bit creative because my headset... I have to put it on and off so that I don't dip it in the water, because that would be a bummer. if I do, quickly put your fingers in your ears, because it will make some really wild sounds. But we're going to get started. The first individual up is?
Cora.
Cora Melrose. No, Cora Lee. It's been a lot of fun. But Cora was the one that came to me first, and she ran up to the front of the sanctuary. I was talking with John Nixon, and she said, "Pastor Arnie, I want to be baptized." And it just touched my heart so. And so I think it's very appropriate that Cora's first, and it is with a great privilege that we baptize her. But let me take this off. Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. All right. You're supposed to clap now. Sometimes we forget the full meaning sometimes. Come on. Of everything that happens, and it happens so quick, and sometimes we begin to wonder just what all's going on. But in baptism, it's such a wonderful thing because we're saying to the world what has already happened in our hearts, that we go below the water. We can't breathe below the water, and when we go below the water, we're born into sin. And then because God changes our hearts, we're brought up in newness of life to live for him. And it's a way to tell the world that we know Jesus Christ as our Savior. So, little Miss Maggie Melrose. I've got the last name right this time. Okay. Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Okay, if you want to stand right here. Okay. Now cross your arms. Hold your nose. Baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's always interesting when you open it up for people to be baptized, just to see who's going to be willing to step up and say, you know what, I want to do this. I want to tell the world the difference that God has made in our hearts. And we were over at your house and had supper together, and we talked about that. So say your name.
Ava Scott
is here. And she's one of our new families that have been coming to the church for just a little while. And she wants to be baptized. So do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Okay, if you want to stand right here, cross your arms.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I'm still learning all the names, but I know your sister was Ava, that makes you Harper. And we were at your house, had supper, and you bugged out on me, didn't you? Yeah, she had some other things that she was doing. But we got a chance to talk at the end, and it was just good, and we just like to welcome you. So, do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? If you would stand right here, cross your arms, hold your nose. I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Anna, this is Anna Melrose, and Anna, it's just been a privilege watching you grow up. I mean, it's just so neat to see God work in people's lives and the difference that he makes. See, I got something special happen to me because of Anna. I got my very first phone call from Hawaii, because they were vacationing in Hawaii, and she was on a walk with her dad, and she said, "Dad, I want to be baptized. Do you think that we could make that happen on Sunday?" And so Jake called me and said, "Can we make this happen?" I almost jumped out of my skin. I was so excited. It's just a joy to be able to be here and have you with us, Anna. So Anna, do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior?
Yes.
You want to stand right here, cross your arms, hold your nose. Baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Well, at this time, John and Dee are going to come and lead us in a couple of songs, and we'll continue in our worship this morning.
I invite you to stand and join us in singing "Christ the Lord is Risen Today," number 367 in your hymnal. Christ the Lord is risen today, alleluia. Sons of men and angels say, alleluia. Raise your joys and triumphs high. Sting, alleluia. Dying once, he called up, save, alleluia. Where the victorial grave, alleluia. Love's redeeming done, alleluia. Fought the fight, the battle won, alleluia. Death in vain forbids him rise, alleluia. Christ has opened paradise, alleluia. Soar we now where Christ has led.
exalted head. Alleluia. Made like him, like him we rise. Alleluia. Ours the cross, the grave, the skies. Alleluia.
And now, Worship Christ, the Risen King, number 361.
Rise, O church, and lift your voices. Christ has conquered death and hell. Sing as all the earth rejoices. Resurrection anthems swell. Come and worship, come and worship. Worship Christ the risen King. See the tomb where death had laid him. Empty now its mouth declares. Death and I could not contain him. For the throng of life he shares. Come and worship. Come and worship, worship Christ the risen King. Hear the earth protest and tremble. See the stone removed with power. All hell's minions may assemble, but cannot withstand this hour. He has conquered, he has conquered, Christ the Lord, the risen King. Doubt may lift his head to murmur, scoffers mock and sinners jeer. But the truth proclaims a wonder. Thoughtful hearts receive with cheer. He is risen, he is risen. Now receive the risen King. We acclaim your life, O Jesus. Now we sing your victory. Sin and hell may seek to seize us, but your conquest keeps us free. Stand in triumph, stand in triumph, worship Christ the risen King.
You may be seated.
It's in the middle of one of Paul's prayers where he's praying for what we just sang about, stand in triumph with the risen King. Starting in 19, he continues praying, and in his incomparably great power for us who believe, that power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly realms. Thank you, Lord, for the truth of your word.
At this time, if the kids are coming forward to sing a song,
thank you.
gets an egg. We had an egg hunt yesterday, and we had a blast. So everybody grab one. They all have the same thing inside. These are very special eggs. Don't open them. Don't open them. Don't open them. Just grab one. Just grab one. Just grab one. They're all the same. Big, little, medium side. They all have the exact same thing on the inside. Yes, 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 yes. Okay. Here you go. Okay. And you guys want to pass that around back there so I don't have to stretch? Oh, wow. Yes. There's something special. Don't open it. Don't open it. There's something special inside. Oh, it's the coolest. It is better than anything you have gotten in an egg. Now, I know yesterday we had an Easter egg hunt, and there were little dogs in the eggs in some of them, and people just went nuts over the little plastic dogs. I can tell you this is better than that. This is better than chocolate. And some of you don't believe me, but what's inside there is better than chocolate. You see, there's something special. Special. It's Easter Sunday, and are you ready? On the count of three, we're going to all open them together. You ready? One, two, three. Open them up. Yay! What? You're not screaming. Exactly. Well, you guys know about Easter? Yeah. You see, on Easter, Jesus rose from the grave, right? Right? You with me? Jesus rose from the grave on Easter, and so the grave was empty. And see, I have taken that empty and put it in an egg and given it to you for your present. So you have an empty grave. Isn't that awesome? You don't look so surprised. Some of you look a bit disappointed. You're saying, but Pastor, I really wanted something that I could see. I really wanted something that I could eat. I really wanted something. You gave me nothing. Yes, Jesus wasn't there. It's like escaped candy. It's so wonderful. Some of you aren't convinced. You see, one of the greatest presents that we could ever have was the fact that the grave was empty. That Jesus indeed rose from the grave, because that meant we could be forgiven of our sin. Did you guys ever sin? Once, maybe. Yeah. But I knew it was a sin, so it's... Yeah. You see, we all make mistakes. And I gave you an Easter egg this morning, not because I wanted to make all of you sad, but because I wanted you to remember that the grave was empty. The tomb was empty. So you can keep your egg, and I would encourage you to keep it empty so that you can be reminded that Jesus wasn't there, that he rose from the grave. So let's bow for prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you for an empty grave. And I just hope, Lord, that this kind of helps us to remember that. And Lord, just be with them, and maybe later on today they can get eggs full of stuff. But Lord, for now, we want to remember that you weren't there in the grave, that you were resurrected. And Lord, we just want to serve you and know your forgiveness. So watch over us. And all these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, get that out. Oh, a dollar offering. Yes, I got the buckets. Yeah. So if you have a dollar, wave it in the air. They will find you. In preparations for this morning, I bought 10 more buckets so that we would have enough. I'm about 4 short. That's okay. That's okay. Yeah. Yeah, you can put it in the bucket. Yeah, put it in the bucket. Money, money. Oh, that's too cute. Okay, once you put the money in the bucket, you can head on down. Yeah, put your bucket over there on the... Yeah. it hot in here? Now we'll prepare to have a regular, if you want to go ahead and go to the back. As soon as the aisle is clear, we'll ask our ushers if they would come forward and we'll have our offering this morning. Let's pray together. Our Father and our God, we thank you for your love for us, and Lord, for all the ways that you watch over us, protect us, guide and direct us each and every day. And Lord, for this offering, we ask your blessing upon it to meet the need for the furthering of your kingdom, both in this community and across the world. We just want to do our part. And so, Lord, we ask your blessing upon each and every person, upon each and every gift. Lord, be with us this day, and we thank you for all you do. In your name we pray. Amen. Thank you. Easter is such a special time. We get to have a lot of fun. I don't know about you, but I have a lot of fun on Easter. I know. I was still up at 5 o'clock this morning and came here, and we had sunrise service, and there's just something about being up as the sun comes up. Now, I know a lot of times we go, oh no, it's another day. But at the same time, we need to remember that it's another day. And any day that we're looking down at the daisies is a good day. And today is a good day. It's a day where we got to start, we got to think, we got to enjoy some of the blessings of Christianity. To be there when a child is dedicated to God and to a service, that's just exciting stuff. This is the stuff pastors live for. I hope it was good for you. And then to have baptisms and to see how Christianity is being handed from one generation to the next. And to take on that responsibility of being able to say, here we dedicate ourselves to these kids, whatever that might be. It might be providing ice cream. It might be watching over an all-nighter. It might be coming up with creative Sunday school lessons. It might be, who knows, what lies in wait. But a willingness to do our part is such a fantastic thing, and to be able to be part of that as we kind of think of Easter and what it really means to be a Christian and to really be able to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's an awesome, awesome thing. I don't know about you, but have you partied yet? I mean, have you gotten excited yet? Or has been getting the kids ready to come here this morning just been a little bit overwhelming? And sometimes when we're trying to get everything done and we all want to look perfect on Easter Sunday, and we just don't get a chance to party. Have you partied yet? Some of you have not. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to put both hands in the air. We're not going Pentecostal, but put both hands in the air. Put both hands in the air. Go, woo! I give that a B. Some of you aren't partying yet. Let's try it again. Put your hands up. Let's go. Woo! You see, we're here to party. It needs to be part of our gathering. Sometimes the image in our culture is that Christians are walking around sucking on persimmons. Have you ever sucked on a persimmon? If you have not had that privilege, I dare you. Because it tries to make your face turn inside out. It's just a wonderful experience. But so often in our world, that's what we look like as Christians. We look like we're just sourpusses. And you know what? We have more to party about than anybody else. We have the opportunity to party because Jesus isn't in the grave. Our eggs are empty. Woo! Y'all having the same troubles the kids had. The good news of Easter Sunday, the good news of gathering together, the good news of saying we have this in common and we can celebrate. It's time we as Christians became the party animals that God has destined us to be. Now I know. The world's tough out there. And this morning, I've got some things to kind of help us process through some of the yuck so that we can party like Christians. So this morning, I want to talk about those. And the first one, if the slide comes up, it hates me. Can you put up slide number one? It's going to come up. I have faith. My faith is waning. There we go. You see, the power of the resurrection gives us the power to cancel out our past, our present, and our future sins. Sometimes we kind of get confused on this. And I've heard people, and maybe even some within our congregation, they talk about the fact that when I became a Christian, yes, my sins were forgiven. Okay, that's done. But if I don't ask God to forgive every sin in my life, then I'm carrying around that sin. And my question is, why would you do that to yourself? That's a horrible way to live. And it's unbiblical. Because God said he died once for all sin. Once for all sin. That means all the sin that I committed when I asked him forgiveness, right? That's all. No. All sin means the sin that has been committed, the sin that is being committed, and the sin that will be committed. Oh, take it easy, Pastor. Take it easy. What do you mean sin that hasn't even been committed yet? Jesus forgives. Well, all includes everything, right? So if all includes everything, even the sin I hasn't committed yet has been forgiven. When we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, he forgives us. And that's a forgiveness that has a beginning, but it doesn't have an end. You know, some things about English are just weird. And one of the things about English is weird. We don't have a tense or a verb that has a beginning and no end. But forgiveness is just that way. It has a beginning. When we accept him as our Savior, we are forgiven. And then that forgiveness carries on. Well, yeah, Pastor, but what if I go 37 in a 35 mile an hour speed zone? It's forgiven. But what if I don't ask for it? You already did ask for it when you asked him to forgive you of your sin. You see, I think so many times we as Christians, when we ask Jesus into our heart, we ask him to forgive the sins of our past. And that's not what it means. English is so confusing. No wonder I have so much trouble with it. You see, in English, when we ask Jesus to forgive our sin, it's our sin that's past. And so when we say forgive us of our sin, that's past. But if we say forgive us of our sin, it's present, right? Forgive us of our sin. In the things that we're going to do in the future, those would be asking God to forgive us of our sin. It's the same word. In English, we do ourselves such a disservice. But when we ask him to forgive our sin, it means all three. So it means that I'm forgiven, so that I can walk in freedom. See, I'm not bound up by the sin of my past. God forgave it. Done. Well, yeah, but. No, no buts. If you put a but in there, you're butting in. It's just not part of it. It's not biblical. When you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are forgiven. Begins, no end. If we can get that, what a difference it makes. Because now I can be free. And when I'm free, I can do things. And I don't have to always be scrambling and say, okay, where's the line? Where's the line? Okay, so gluttony is wrong. We know gluttony is wrong. So I have to stop before gluttony. And so I'm going to have Easter Sunday dinner. So if I have two slices of ham, but I cut back on the mashed potatoes and don't use gravy, then maybe I can have dessert. Because that wouldn't be gluttony. But the extra potatoes and the gravy, now we're getting, that's gluttony. So I got to find, that's just nuts. And we try and live like that so much in our lives. And it's like, we don't need to. We need to accept God's forgiveness. And then just follow him, whatever that means. And sometimes it means you get three pieces of ham. And sometimes you pass on the ham. Because that's what God is talking to us. And we begin this relationship with him. And in that relationship, the details are worked out. Forgiven. A forgiveness that continues. Are we willing to have and lead that kind of life? The power of a resurrected Christ enables us to truly live. But not just truly live. It gives us a power to have a new identity. We had baptisms. And yes, we're going to use the same names. We don't have to change their names. And all the kids, okay, they're not in here, so it's okay. We're not going to change their names, but they have a new identity. That new identity is they have told this congregation, they have told the world that Jesus has made a difference in my life. And they're letting everybody know that's the case. And in doing so, they've established a new identity. They are one of God's kids. And there's nothing better than being one of God's kids. My daddy's a king. I've always wanted to say that. You know, to know that I'm royalty, to know that I matter, that I'm a big deal. I was second born in my house. I fought to be a big deal all my life. My grandmother, I would go and I would say, what was my older brother, Cliff? What was his first word? Boy, she'd wrap him right off. And my sister was the first granddaughter, and I'd ask her, what was my sister's first words? And she'd rattle it right off. And I'd say, Grandma, what were my first words? And she would run and get ice cream and root beer. There was always a struggle to be seen, to be noticed. I wanted to be a king's kid. I wanted to people to recognize me, to see, and not look past me. And when I became a child of Jesus Christ, all of that changed because I had a new identity. It wasn't who, I wasn't the second kid of Ron and Mary Kaufman. I wasn't the kid that sat in the third row in the fifth seat from the front. I wasn't the kid that just probably talked too much. I wasn't any of those things anymore. I was a child of Jesus Christ. My identity was, I was the child of a king. And it changed me because I didn't have to worry about what everybody else thought of me. I just had to be God's kid. And you know what? Some people say, well, maybe you're spoiled. Wouldn't it be cool? I'd love to be spoiled. Being the favorite's the coolest. I tell my parents that all the time. I'm your favorite. And they roll their eyes, just like they're probably doing now. It's an amazing thing, because my identity is not in the circumstances I find myself. My identity is not in what my wife thinks of me. My identity is not whether or not I'm standing in front of 10 or 100 people. My identity is not any of those things. My identity is I'm a child of the King. I'm one of God's kids. And all I want to do is see my daddy smile. I want to do the things that my dad loves, because there's nothing better than when God smiles. When God looks down, sees Arnie and goes, I've got everything I need. The world can be difficult. The struggles can be high. The mountains can be huge. But when God smiles down on me, all the rest of it's secondary. I'm just a child of the King. My identity is stamped for eternity with a God that loves me, a God that wants to hang out with me. Have you ever been all alone? Have you ever had those times when you were the odd man out, the last one picked, whatever it happens to be? My identity with God says it doesn't matter how good I am at basketball, and I'm not. Not how good I am at softball. Not how good I am at whatever it happens to be. My job is just to do what God wants. And if that means to run around on a softball field so the rest of the guys can play, I'll do that. If it means trying to dribble a basketball so that other people can laugh, I'll do that. Whatever it is fine. Because my identity is not in how well I can dribble a basketball or hit a softball or run or whatever it happens to be. My identity is that I'm a child of the King. If you know him as Savior and Lord, you're a child of the King. There isn't a better place. It's the coolest. Because we all have eggs that are empty because Jesus was resurrected from the grave. He loves us enough that he would do it for each and every one of us, even if we were the only one. His love knows no bounds. We are definitely a child of the King, being able to do all things. And third, this morning, it's the power to fill you with the strength to face the challenges of each and every day. I guess this is the hard part. I mean, there's a lot of things that we can do, and we can jump up and down. We can pray, put our hands in the air and go, woohoo, if we want to. I mean, we can do those things to make it look good. But what really it comes down to is the challenge to face another day. And there's times I heard a story about a gentleman woke up in the morning, looked at his wife and said, I can't do it today. I'm not going to church. And the wife said, come on, you need to just give it a try. Get out of bed, maybe eat a little something. You'll feel better. He said, no, I've had it. I'm done. She said, but honey, you have to. And he said, why? And he goes, because you're the pastor. I mean, there are times when even pastors get down. And we have to look to God to give me the strength for another day. Give me the strength to just do what you're asking me to. I'll follow you. I'll do what it is. But sometimes I need kicked, and sometimes I just need a hand. Whatever it is, God, you do that, and I'll do my best to pick up the pieces. I'll do my best to do what it is that you're asking, but I know I'm going to fail. But with you, anything's possible, so I'll try my best, and you hold it together, because the egg's empty. Jesus was resurrected from the grave, and because of that, we will have the strength to face each new day. We all have those struggles in life. We all have those things that wear us out. There are times when we just get beat up and beat down and just can't go on. I get that. None of us are immune to that. Some have it more difficult than others. Why is that? I don't know. I had a good friend that was going through some rough times, and this went on for a number of years. And he said, "What's going on?" I said, "Well, it's not that Jesus doesn't love you. It just loves me more." No, that's not true. But sometimes we act like that. We try and convince the world of that, that God loves Christians, but he hates sinners. No, God loves all mankind, all of them, just as much. When we become a Christian and draw close, we're able to bask in his smile. I know as a kid growing up, there was nothing better than when my dad would smile. That was akin to, "I'm proud of you." And that was the coolest. And there were those other times when he didn't smile. Didn't like that. I wanted the smiles. And I worked hard to get the smiles because I wanted my dad to be proud of his son. And in the same way, I work hard to serve my God because I want my God to smile and be proud of his son. I know that he is. I know of the smiles, and they're the best. I know of the times he takes my hand and he says, "You're more than what you are. Come. It's time to lift you up. You stand back up. Like the toddler that falls down for the 400th time. You just stand them back up because you know they're going to be able to walk. You stand them back up. Give them a pat on the butt and off they go once again." And God does the same for us. There's times whenever we've just used every little bit that we have and we're done. And he looks down and he smiles, takes us by the arm, stands us back up, gives us a pat on the butt and says, "Keep going." And what we find is we're able to because we bask in that smile and it infuses us with that, "I can still do this. I can get through another day. I don't know how, but somehow God draws close and enables us to continue to move forward. Are we willing to do just that? Are we really willing to celebrate Easter Sunday? To know of the power of the resurrection, and that resurrection power infuses us with hope and gives us a new identity and assists us and gives us the strength to carry on because our sin is forgiven, all of it. But Pastor, you don't know what I've done. I don't care. I really don't. Because it doesn't matter what you've done. If God can forgive the thief on the cross, if God can forgive, and on we go. King David, for all the stuff King David did. If you don't know what he did, go look it up. It's a wonderful story. But all of these things, look, you haven't done anything new. And God's forgiveness is still offered if you're willing to accept it. The hard part is accepting his forgiveness. Acknowledging the power of the resurrection, that he might give us a new identity, that we might truly live upon this earth. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you for the great things you're doing in our midst. I'm just amazed. And you truly are a great and a gracious God, and you continue to work with us, and we give you thanks for that. And Lord, thanks for the kids. Thanks for the blessings of new little ones. Thanks for those little ones making decisions to follow you. And Lord, just continue to walk with us that we might be a congregation that can undergird and point the way for them to follow. They wouldn't have to be trailblazers, but Lord, that they would be able to follow in our footsteps as we follow in your footsteps. So come and draw close to us. And Lord, this morning, if there's somebody, if there's somebody that's struggling, we ask that you'd give them courage to make that known. I mean, they can just trot out of their pews and come to the altar, and Lord, we'll pray with them, and that's awesome if that's the way it needs to go, or if there's a friend that they need to share with, or if they need to call me later, or somebody else. There's dedicated people. We just ask, God, that you would touch hearts and give them the courage and the strength to do that, to reach out for help. To allow you to make a difference, to give each and every one of us a new name, a new identity, that we might follow you all the days of our lives. Be with us this day as we celebrate your resurrection. Amen.
I invite you to stand and join us in singing a song of victory. Victory in Jesus, number 353 in the hymnal.
I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory. How he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me and I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about his healing, of his cleansing power revealing, how he made the lame to walk again and caused the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about a mansion he has bought for me in glory. And I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood.
As we go from here, may God continue to walk with us, that we truly might be able to celebrate. It's Easter. He has risen. Hallelujah.